My friends, in Jesus' grace, be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our blessed Lord and Savior. The words I would like to consider with you are from the story of the entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem astride the back of a donkey. And we read especially these words. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and was raised from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard that he had done this sign. And so the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." This is God's word. Please be seated. Well, everyone loves a parade. The hometown team returns after winning a state championship, or an astronaut returns from a voyage into outer space, or soldiers come back from the battlefield victorious, or maybe it's just as simple as your child was chosen to be the snow prince or snow princess for the Napoleon Christmas parade. And now is the time for our heroes to be glorified. And what better way to glorify them than a parade? Crowds lining the streets, cheering, waving, the martial beat of the marching band and of its music. There is electricity in the air. Everyone loves a parade. Jesus once said, "Now is the time for the Son of Man to be glorified." But a parade was not exactly what he had in mind when he said that. This was no ego trip that he was on. He was here to save us. But to be sure, of course, it was important that this parade take place, as we just read, because the words of the Old Testament prophesied that this is how Jesus would come into his kingdom, that the Savior would come to Jerusalem, in Zechariah's words, righteous and having salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, so that palm-waving, Hosanna-shouting parade did have its place. As a sign to the world that the Savior, the Messiah, the Redeemer, had indeed arrived on the scene with salvation for all of us. And yet this parade is not what Jesus had in mind when he said the time would come for him to be glorified. What he really had in mind is something that he has said much earlier in his ministry, when he said that his glorification would involve himself being lifted up above the world in such a position that he would be able to draw all people unto himself. A position in which he would bridge the gap between God and man, between heaven and earth. But he's going to have to be raised up quite a bit higher than a donkey's back to achieve that. The problem is, as we read in this text, that the people on that parade route, and even Jesus' own disciples, just did not understand all of this. To them, this parade was the glorification of Jesus, or at least the beginning of his glorification, because they believed that from here, Jesus would arise with political power, and he would rise for the benefit of his people, and the benefits for his people would be glorious. There would be freedom from the Romans. There would be food aplenty from the food-multiplying hands of this miracle worker. There would be health and healing. There would be prosperity. There would be victory in battles as the king would raise from the dead soldiers, and send them back to fight again. Oh, this parade was just the beginning of the glory. As far as all of those people were concerned on that first Palm Sunday, the back of a donkey was quite high enough for Jesus to be lifted. And the glory was just about to begin. And wouldn't you know it, people are still making the very same mistake with respect to Jesus Christ that they made in our text. Believing that his greatest and his highest glory is the promise that he is going to make life better and more glorious for us in the here and now. It is a brand of theology that has swept across America, and indeed it is distinctively an American theology. Can consider the man who is probably the most popular TV preacher in America today, Joel Osteen. He holds church in a stadium. The man made his mark by promising to all who would listen that God wants us to have our best life now. In fact, he even wrote a book. And guess what its title is? The Best Life Now. And you can find it on store shelves at Walmart and in bookstores in the religious section all across America. And my goodness, I looked at reviews of this book online. I think Joel Osteen got better reviews with his book than the Lord God Almighty gets with the Holy Scriptures. And no wonder, because Jesus says in Scripture things like this. He says, take up your cross and follow me. Whereas Osteen says that God wants you to have the best parking place at the mall. He really does. Jesus says, count the cost of being my disciple because it will be costly. Osteen says that God wants you to find that tie you've always wanted on sale. Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble. Osteen says that you should have the faith that God wants you to be upgraded at no charge from coach to first class on your flight to see Aunt Lucy. He really says those things. And this process of glorification that he speaks about, of course, like always, involves following certain principles and rules and precepts. And it's up to you to do those things. But boy, if you do them, oh my goodness, God is going to be good to you. And life will be glorious for you. Of course, I don't know how that message plays among the Christians, perhaps, in the Sudan, whose lives are not blessed, but are made more difficult for their faithfulness to Christ. I guess Joel Osteen would conclude that they are bad Christians somehow. But is it any wonder that people throng to buy these books and suck them up and fill stadiums to hear that kind of preaching? It's for the very same reason the people thronged around Jesus when he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. They were not excited about what Jesus was going to do to set them free from their sins. Oh no, they were more interested in what he was going to do to give them the best life now. Now the best. Now the glory. It's a terrible perversion of Christ's gospel. Christ's apostle, St. Paul, tells us what it's really all about when he said to Timothy, we are yet waiting for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself to redeem us from all lawlessness. The glory of the best life you will ever live is a glory that for the time being is hope, for which you are waiting. We do not yet have it. But we will have it when Christ appears and he takes us to be with him. Then the best life will commence. But until then, the process by which God brings us to that glory is a process that always takes us on the way of the cross. Palm Sunday, with all of its parade goers and their misplaced excitement over the better life now, that was not Jesus' glorification. His true glory would be seen on full display later in the week as he sweated and bled and suffered and agonized and died and was lifted up above the world, this time not on the back of a donkey, but nailed to a cross, taking upon himself in his own body all of our sins, all of our diseases, all of our breaking of God's law, and crucifying it there with him and putting it away from us forever. The best life is the life that he purchased for you on the cross, a life that is promised to us when he appears in glory. The true process of being glorified will always take you the way of the cross. Now, mind you, that is not to say that there are no blessings whatsoever for those who follow Jesus Christ and are faithful to Him. There are blessings aplenty, blessings that I enjoy as a Christian. Oh no, you may not get the best parking place at the mall, but even better than that, you will have the satisfaction of love for having considered somebody else ahead of yourself and given them the best parking place. You may not find that tie you always wanted on sale, but you will know the joy of sharing your resources in the name of Jesus Christ to put some clothing on a naked child, to put some food in his belly, and to put a roof over his head. You may not get that free upgrade to first class when you fly out to see Aunt Lucy, but you will have the hope of a free upgrade to a throne in heaven where we will reign with Jesus Christ forever and ever. Oh, there are blessings aplenty for those who are faithful in Christ, but they are blessings of the spirit and of the soul, the blessings of peace and of joy and of hope and of contentment, which God does promise in His word to His people, even as we take up our cross and follow Jesus. So, this morning we are giving Jesus our own little palmy parade. But not because we expect Him to give us the best life now, but even better than that, to give us the best life forever when He returns in His glory. So ride on, Lord Jesus, ride on in lowly pomp to die, and turn our eyes from this vain world so that in the garden, in your trial, at Calvary, and finally at the open tomb, we may see the true vision of your glory. In the name of our Savior, amen. My friends, may the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.